Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It's Tuesday, November 20. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph Watson filling in today for the first hour. Alex is out sick, so the first hour will be me. I've got some special guests coming up, and the second 2 hours of the show will be rebroadcast. But it's day two of the opt-out and film week. The backlash against the TSA continues. And at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking with Dan Dix of Press for Truth TV and TSA opt-out and film campaign organizer Ashley Jessica. You probably heard them on the show yesterday briefly. They traveled to Buffalo Airport there in New York and basically ran into some hassle. They were expecting it, of course, with the TSA. The police got involved from what I hear. Don't know the full details of it, but I'm definitely fascinated to find out. So we're going to be talking to them at the bottom of the hour. They were involved in the TSA opt-out and film campaign protest. And we're also going to be talking to a father who's running with the TSA led to his baby son laying face down on the floor, bleeding. Wait until you hear about this one. We're going to go to that here in the next segment. Kicking off with some news, though, and obviously the TSA's in the frame here. This is up on Infowars.com. Cancer victim forced to go through TSA body scanner despite opting out. Now, this is an email I received about 2 hours before going on air. I also received another email from a traveler yesterday saying basically the same thing. And it appears as if, in some cases, the TSA is actually forcing people to go through the naked X-ray radiation-firing body scanners, even though they exercise their right, and it is their right within the United States, to opt out. They're actually forcing them, lying to them against their own TSA policy and saying that you have to go through the scanner, it's mandatory, when of course we know it's not. And this was a cancer victim concerned with, I mean, she's in remission now, but she was concerned by the effects of the radiation scanner. And she emailed me today to say, quote, "I was in the New Orleans airport and asked to opt out. They made me go through the X-ray and I had to go through a pat down." So even though she went through the body scanner, she got the invasive grope down anyway. "I'm sure that this is in violation of the TSA's policy." Of course, we know that's true. "I was reduced to tears," writes Lynn Baker. Quote, "I wish I had the video, but I wanted to pass this along even without. It shouldn't make any difference, but I have cancer and do not want the scans to trigger the cancer as I am currently in remission," she adds. So basically, this is a cancer victim who was in tears crying because when she legally exercised her right to opt out of the radiation firing body scanner, she was told in no uncertain terms by the TSA agent, "Get in the scanner now. We're going to make you do it." And obviously, you know, if you've got guys being arrested as terrorists, as bombers, for having a artistic watch, as happened on the weekend, they're being arrested as potential terrorists, their bail's been set at, you know, $150,000, then there's a very significant pull to obey whatever the TSA agent says, because, of course, you could be labelled a terrorist, just as during the last National Opt-Out Day protest back in 2010, which, of course, the TSA responded to by mothballing the scanners on that very day as a political stunt to try and neutralise the protest. People who opted out during that time were also characterised as terrorists. In fact, there was a segment on The View, the popular ABC show, where, you know, Whoopi Goldberg and all the others on the show actually called people terrorists or potential terrorists simply for exercising their right to opt out. So we're going to continue speaking about this after break with our guest, Kevin Ryan, who was the father who went through TSA security with his wife, with his baby son, and
Now.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We're back on the Alex Jones Show. It's Paul Joseph Watson in for Alex Jones, who is out sick. He'll be back tomorrow. Senate bill rewrite lets feds read your email without warrants. This is one of the top stories up at prisonplanet.com. And basically, they've rewritten this email surveillance bill, which is now being introduced in the Senate. And it's worse than the first version, which people were already complaining about. This bill would allow 22, no less than 22 federal agencies to read your private emails, but not only that, Google Doc files, Facebook posts, direct Twitter messages, these are private messages, would allow 22 federal agencies to read all those communications without a warrant, without having to go to a judge whatsoever. So Big Brother's tentacles really reaching further and further. Of course, under the echelon system, a lot of that communication is trapped. 90% of all email and internet traffic is trapped and later analyzed with keyword systems. But now they're openly coming out and saying, let the feds read your email without a warrant in plain view, just as they did with Mr. Petraeus there revealing his affair. So that's up on prisonplanet.com. Another story we've got up on there is TSA issues warning over opt-out and film week. And the TSA has officially acknowledged the InfoWars opt-out and film protest and warned that despite the fact it is not prohibited to film the TSA at checkpoints, local laws may allow police to intervene and prevent such activity. So basically the TSA came out in a blog post and said, yeah, our own policy says you can film, there's nothing wrong with it. But if you do, we may get the police involved and you have to obey local ordinances, of course. The First Court of Appeals has repeatedly ruled that it is completely legal under the First Amendment to film police officers. TSA officials are not police officers. They have to go through zero training, yet they're called officers and given a nice shiny gold medal badge. But they're basically threatening anyone who takes part in this protest. They're trying to intimidate them out of doing so by saying the police are going to get involved, which is what we're going to get into at the bottom of the hour with Dan Dix and Ashley Jessica. But now I want to introduce our first guest. And this is an email I received probably a couple of weeks ago now. We received shocking stories about the TSA, the behavior of the TSA. Of course, they're in the news on an almost daily basis. But this one really shocked me because it involved a toddler. And here to talk about it is the father of that child, Kevin Ryan. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Unfortunately, I wish that there wasn't a need to be on the show. I wish what happened hadn't happened. But thank you very much for having me.
Now, Kevin, this incident occurred at Newark Liberty Airport. You were there with your wife and baby. You've transferred to another terminal. This was in the Continental Airlines terminal. And you're on your way to Baltimore. You're approaching the TSA security checkpoint. Now take the story from there. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, well, exactly as you said, we had just arrived from an international flight and we had transferred over to the Continental Terminal for a connecting flight to Baltimore. It was quite late at night for the airport, about 9:30 p.m. As we approached the TSA checkpoint, we were the only people, but we were immediately accosted, I guess, by the TSA. They began shouting at us to move along faster, to remove our shoes and other personal items at a faster speed. Despite their aggressive behavior, we remained very respectful and proceeded with what their commands were. I had been carrying our son in a portable baby cradle. I had sat him down on the table before the X-ray to remove him from that cradle. At which time I was being constantly yelled at that I was not allowed to do that there. There was no idea as far as how I was to remove him from the cradle without putting him down, but I guess that was my problem. I proceeded to remove him from the cradle and went underneath the X-ray with him. And at that point, my wife had remained behind with a cradle and our personal belongings. And apparently, the cradle at that point had been pushed through the X-ray conveyor belt, unbeknownst to me. When it arrived on the other side of the X-ray, I had sent it again to place my son into his portable baby cradle, and was again harassed and told that I wasn't allowed to do that here, and that I had to proceed to leave immediately without fastening my son into his cradle or having time really to collect my personal items. So doing the best I could, I had sat my son in the cradle and began to proceed away from the conveyor belt area as instructed by the TSA. At that point, just after picking up my son and walking maybe 3 to 5 feet away from the conveyor belt, he fell out of the cradle. One reason for that being that he wasn't fastened in. Another reason being that they had apparently broken the cradle as they had pushed it through.
And you said you actually saw your wife said she saw them break the cradle.
Had tried to advise me, but was pulled aside by the TSA and told that she could not speak in a loud tone at the TSA area, although apparently they are allowed to, and that she had been singled out for a special security check. My son had fell on the ground and was bleeding and, of course, crying ostensibly. There was blood coming out of his nose. His lip was busted. He was bleeding. And really, it looked quite horrible. We were panicked. I tried to call 911, having just come over from a trip to Europe. My cell phone would not work. I asked repeatedly in a very loud and clear voice to the two TSA employees to contact 911, and they acted as if they didn't see me. They just went about their business, sort of looked at me, rolled their eyes. Meanwhile, my baby is shouting and crying and bleeding. So it was quite a horrific scene. And our salvation was a janitor who came rushing over and allowed us to use her cell phone to call 911, which did come and then transport our son to a nearby emergency room.
And so, basically, there was hardly anybody in the line. This wasn't as if it was a busy morning, and yet still, at 9:30 at night, they're there right from the start shouting at you, bawling at you to get a move on when you've clearly got all this baby equipment, you're tired, you're traveling through the airport. And you said your wife actually saw them break the baby cradle, is that right, when they put it through the scanner?
That's correct, Paul. In fact, there was nobody else in the line. We were the only people there. And she did see what had occurred, and she was not allowed to advise me of that. And just want to mention, as a side point, the treatment that we received by the TSA was quite different than what we received going through two European airports, where the security staff there, which certainly is concerned about security as well, were very polite and made special considerations for the fact that we were traveling with an infant baby.
I mean, it's amazing. I've been to communist China, and the treatment is about 500% better than TSA and Homeland Security when I went to America, got all my fingerprints taken. Don't need to get your fingerprints taken when you go to communist China. So that just shows how unfree America is with all this security theater. So basically, you go through, the baby cradle's broken, you try to put your son in it, he falls to the floor, and you said he's not just his lip was bust open, but his nose was actually broken. Is that the case?
Well, his nose was not exactly broken, because at his age, as the doctors explained to us, it's not really possible for your nose to be technically broken because the cartilage isn't fully formed. But it was close to a broken nose as possible, and he was bleeding out of his nose. The cartilage was busted. His lip was busted as well, to the extent that even, now many months later, you can still see where his lip was busted at that time. And I just want to say, even outside of what actually happened and him falling, which is horrific enough, the biggest crime to me is the fact that the TSA did absolutely nothing. So it's really my feeling that the TSA would have even let my son God forbid, die there if that was the case, rather than act. And so to me, it was something that I never thought that I would ever live to see, especially in the United States of America.
And so when your son actually fell to the floor and started bleeding and crying, what were the TSA agents doing? Were they just standing around and chatting, or were they trying to work out what to do, or did they just not care?
They were looking at each other. They looked at me several times and rolled their eyes and began talking to themselves again. Basically, they didn't pay any attention to us whatsoever, other than to sort of smirk at us.
And then the police arrived, didn't they? And you tried to file charges. Tell us what happened with that.
That's correct. I did call 911. 911 asked if we needed an ambulance or police. I advised them both. The ambulance came, of course. The primary concern was with my son. While they were doing tests on him, I went to with a police officer. The officer asked me if I'd like to file a complaint against the TSA. I advised him that I would like to. He asked me to come with him and to identify who the TSA personnel were, which I did. At that point, he said that I should leave. He advised me that he was going to view the video footage. I said I'd like to see that as well. I'd like to be present because I would like to file charges against those two TSA employees. And he very strongly cautioned me that I was instructed to vacate the immediate area and to find me.
We're going to go to a break now, but we'll come back and finish the story with Kevin Ryan. It's Infowars.com/opt-out. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph Watson, filling in for Alex. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're back. It's The Alex Jones Show live. I'm Paul Joseph Watson, in for Alex, who will be back tomorrow. We've got a rebroadcast of the last 2 hours coming up after my segment ends, just after the top of the hour. We're talking to Kevin Ryan, who is a father who went through TSA security at Newark Liberty Airport. His son was with him, and his wife, his baby son, went through the security. The TSA agents actually broke the baby cradle as they put it through the X-ray scanner. He put his son in the cradle. His son fell out, lay there on the floor, bleeding, crying. The TSA agents did absolutely nothing. And then later, Kevin was basically kicked out of the airport when he tried to make a fuss out of it. Kevin, in the email you sent me, you talked about this feeling of entering into a post-apocalyptic world when you arrived there in the United States. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's no really other way to put it. It was something I just could not conceive what was possible, certainly in the country that I call home. And having been traveling and then returning, it was almost as if, as I said earlier, I had flown back not to the actual United States, but to a type of Twilight Zone USA. So it was very, very hard to believe that this was actually possible. Really, it was experiencing what people are like if they don't have souls. And I really think that that's unfortunately a fair way to describe the way the people at TSA acted. I can't imagine that they could have that much hostility towards a baby. I didn't mention when we went through the X-ray, when I went through with my son, he had a baby blanket underneath of him, and one of the TSA employees came and yanked the blanket out from underneath of him. Of course, he was crying at that point, and they said, you can't go through with the blanket, and also in a hostile tone. So they just seem to have no respect for citizens, and certainly no respects for baby. I mean, it's a sad statement when even our babies aren't safe. There's many an evil person who still has some level of sympathy for children, but apparently that's not the case with all TSA employees.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? They must be being trained to be rude and hostile to people as an intimidation tactic. Because, I mean, there's so many stories now, they come out on an almost daily basis. And just the rudeness, even when I go on Twitter and search for TSA stories, it's just one after another. I went through such and such an airport security 5 minutes ago. I've never experienced ruder airport security. And the fact is, it's losing the United States billions and billions of dollars of tourism money because people are just refusing to visit there now. Have you considered filing a lawsuit? Where are you going to take this from here?
Considered filing a lawsuit mainly as a matter of principle, and I've told a number of attorneys that I've spoke with that in order to make this more appealing for them, we don't need to be on the financial receiving end of any type of settlements. We just like to get this case out there. We just like to get reform within the TSA. Anything else they can take, we just want to. We just want to stop this from happening to other people and certainly to other babies. And I really believe it was a situation where somebody in a similar situation could have been more seriously injured or even died. So I do feel it's my responsibility to make this known and to do something. So I appreciate you having me on the show. The lawyers that I spoke with were quite surprisingly to me, not terribly interested in the case. And they said, listen, this is really a horrific thing that happened to you, but the TSA is a very powerful engine to go up against. And, it's not something that our law firm would be interested in pursuing. So they really felt like they didn't have a chance to win the case. And just also would mention that I also contacted the TSA and gave them an opportunity to address the matter internally. And they did send me a letter in reply several months later and said they had reviewed the footage, which the police have seen and the TSA has seen, but I, as a citizen, am not allowed to see. And so that they saw what I was referring to, but the actions of the TSA were in keeping with their official policy, which I take as a domain of as acceptance of what happened as being part of standard protocol for the TSA.
Well, it's a shocking story, and we'll be sure to have the article up about it on Infowars.com tomorrow. Keep us up to date, Kevin, with any developments, and really appreciate you joining us on the show today. That's Kevin Ryan. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, Paul, very much for having me on.
Thank you. We're going to a break now, but we'll be back with Ashley, Jessica and Dan Dix. National TSA opt-out and film protest. Infowars.com/opt-out. We'll be back. Stay tuned. The Alex Jones Show on this Tuesday, November 20. I'm Paul Joseph Watson, in for Alex Jones, who's out sick today. He'll be back tomorrow, rest assured, don't worry. And we're talking to Dan Dix of Press for Truth TV and Ashley Jessica, organiser, of course, of the TSA opt-out and Film Week campaign, which is at infowars.com/opt-out. And yesterday, you probably heard them briefly on the show, Dan and Ashley travelled to Buffalo Airport to take part in the campaign to hand out flyers to do some filming. But before they even got there, they were basically detained at the border, and we're going to hear all about it, as well as what happened in the airport, which is a separate story within itself. So Dan and Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Paul.
So as I just mentioned, I mean, you told me in an email, I don't know any of the details, but you were detained at the border before you even got to the airport. Tell us what happened.
So basically, when we were driving through, they asked, of course, what our purpose was for entering the United States. We told them a little bit that we were just going to document a nationwide campaign that's going on at the Buffalo Airport. When the border officer asked, he asked what I do. I said I'm a PhD student. Then he asked Dan what he does. He said, I'm a journalist. And he said, oh, it figures. And then he started typing something in his computer, gave us a slip, told us to go to secondary screening.
Pretty much as soon as we told him what the campaign was all about, TSA, the words TSA came out. He leans into the car and looks at me and says, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a journalist and a filmmaker. And he goes, figures, pull on over to secondary. So immediately we were taken into the secondary screening area. For over an hour, they held us there before anybody talked to us. And the funny thing is, when we were in there, you know, Ashley's the one who kind of launched the campaign. It's her car. And, you know, we're sitting there, me and her and my friend. And when it came time for us to talk to customs, they just said, "Dan, come here, please." And all three of us get up and they say, no, just you. And he had a few more questions for me and basically asked me, you know, questioned me for maybe 5 or 10 minutes and then pretty much let us on their way. Didn't have any questions for them.
No, he asked Dan if I was the spokesperson for the campaign.
Yeah, we told him what the campaign was. I guess he did a quick Google search or something. I see him there typing it in. And he looked it up. He said, "Let me go talk to my superiors here." And then he came back. He said, "She's not the spokesperson or anything." I'm like, "No, I don't know." And he said, "Okay, go ahead." So slight little snag there at the border. It was kind of half expected, but
yeah. One thing I did.
Go ahead.
Sorry. One thing I did notice in the secondary screening area, there was a big picture of Janet Napolitano's face. Which is framed on the wall there.
A la 1984.
Yeah. So that was pretty eerie.
Creepy. So basically you were treated as suspicious simply because you were a journalist, Dan. What kind of questions did they ask you?
Basically, what's the whole point of this thing? What's your purpose? You know, what's this for? Where's this going to show up, basically? And I just, you know, told them straight out, you know, because we have nothing to hide. We're not doing anything illegal. There's no reason to lie to them in any way at all. So I said, we're going down there to document this campaign. It's gained national attention. It's been on CBS and Huffington Post and all over the news. It's a big national campaign. And I'm a journalist. So we're interested in this topic and we want to go down there to interview some people, to get some footage of this campaign and to just document the event. And he asked me, where's this kind of stuff going to be showing up? And I just said, YouTube. And that was pretty much it. And he had to go and confer, just double check with his superiors before he let us go. But that was pretty much the line of questioning. What's the point of this? What are you doing? And where is this going to end up? So I just answered his questions. And I guess they had nothing else on us, because like I said, we're not doing anything illegal. It's perfectly within our rights. And so they had to just let us go on in. And so it was a slight snag there. They held us up just for a little over an hour.
Yeah, a little stressful.
Well, I mean, you were probably expecting harassment, but you were probably expecting it at the airport, not at the border, I guess.
I was kind of half expecting it at the border. We were prepared for it. I'm glad that it wasn't worse than it was there.
Just the attitude of that.
The attitude, yeah.
Of the guy, just the way he looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, figures. All right, pull over."
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
The car's ripped apart. I didn't know what we were in for with based on his attitude. So
I mean, finally you get out of there after being delayed for so long. Now, to be clear, I don't even know what happened at the airport yet. I'm as interested as all the listeners to find out. So you get to Buffalo. Take the story from there.
Probably within the first minute of finding the TSA checkpoints within the first minute of us pulling out our cameras, we were surrounded by TSA agents at first who were just kind of checking us out, and they're all on their phones and radios. And then within another minute or so, we were surrounded by these another agency, guys in white suits with their badges and stuff. And I guess they're the transit.
Transit police. Yeah.
Airport transit security.
Airport transit police, NFTA.
Transit police. I call them 4.5s, you know, not quite a 5.0. So they surrounded us right away and had a lot of questions.
Do you think they knew you were coming?
No, they did. Well, as far as I know, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed they were, you know, wondering what we're doing. And it was the first they heard of this. They were curious to see the flyers.
They were alerted by the TSA at the airport.
Mm-hmm. So they surrounded us at first and immediately said, "Don't, you can't be filming over there." And we right away asserted our rights and said, "Actually, we can. We even double checked on the website. We are allowed to film the TSA. We can film the area as long as we're not pointing the cameras at the monitors. And they had to, they said, well, can you just stop until we double check to confirm that that's true? They didn't even know their own laws.
It seemed like they were very uninformed of the laws. One of them even slapped Dan's camera shut.
That's true.
Very aggressively.
True. He smacks my LCD lens, the screen there, closed. And I open it again, he smacks it shut again, and I said, you cannot touch my equipment. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of his superiors later came up to me and basically apologized for that incident and said, you know, we're going to speak to him about that. He had no right to touch your camera gear. Of all the guys that were there, I have to say, one guy in particular was very, very calm, very collected, very cool, exactly how it should go. And we'll certainly be able to show that once we get this video put together.
Yeah, he was very interested in hearing more about the campaign. He's very open-minded. So that was really refreshing to see. You know.
So what strikes me, though, before we get into more of what happened, is how dumb they are. If they just leave you alone, let you film the checkpoint for a while, hand out some flyers, you know, for an hour or two, then no incident happens. And the footage that you get is quite banal and not very interesting, but it's the very fact that they have to intervene and they have to cause an incident that gives you the footage and turns it into a story. So, I mean, does that strike you as dumb, or are they just, you know, trained to do that and they fear they'd lose their jobs if they didn't?
It's quite odd, quite ridiculous, really. So, and as you said, they approach us and end up engaging in conversation with us. And I had some very interesting conversations with those guys. We haven't even checked our own footage yet, but I can't wait to go over it all. And, cause it's a lot to remember. We were talking to those guys for hours and they disclosed a lot of information, a lot of stuff that I was surprised they were, being so candid with and telling us about. One of the guys was saying, he says, you know, their whole screening process isn't very good. He said their training isn't very good. It only takes 2 weeks. Anybody can get in and do this kind of thing. They were very candid in speaking with us, the one guy anyways.
Yeah, and he, you know, he was saying that they're not exactly particularly fond of the TSA either.
That's true.
Yeah.
The very own security airport security there was saying, you know what, guys? The one guy actually was saying, you know what? What you're saying makes sense to me. I mean, he's like, I'm kind of starting to wonder about it all now because everything you've been telling me makes sense. So I'm gonna start to look into this a little bit, which of course is the whole goal of the campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
To raise awareness about this stuff, get the word out. Raising awareness was an issue, though. They didn't let us hand out flyers.
Right. So they said that we could be arrested for soliciting. They were sort of going back and forth about that. They weren't sure. But
what exactly are you supposed to be soliciting? You're just giving out information.
Exactly. That's what we said, but
they just said, look, you're soliciting, and you can't hand out the flyers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was all about just talking to the people in line and letting them know they have the option to opt out. So we said, you know what? Let's not let this deter us. We're still going to talk to these people, all of these passengers who are about to be faced with this choice of going through this very dangerous machine or getting the pat down. We're still going to talk to them and inform them, even though, you know, we can't give you the piece of paper. Mm-hmm.
So I just held it up and told them, you know, went through point by point what the campaign is about. And a lot of the travelers were so open-minded. A lot of them didn't know about the health risks associated with the body scanners. Some of them didn't even know that they could be sexually assaulted by the TSA during a pat-down procedure. So many of the travelers said
they had the right to opt out, because I found that a lot, we sent reporters down to Austin Bergstrom and half the travelers didn't even know they had the right to opt out. Did you find that, or were they informed about it?
I found that some were informed and some weren't. It was kind of a mix. I would say a lot of them didn't know that they had the right to film. So that was something that they were unaware of.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of them had no idea that you are actually allowed to film your pat downs, and you know, it's for your own safety and your own protection. You might need it, who knows, in the future as some evidence or something. So it's fully within your right to document when they are giving you this intrusive and invasive pat down. Most people had no idea about that. They were they were surprised. They said, "Oh, I didn't know that." So that was good. And everyone was very receptive to the information, though.
Very much so. Great. Yes.
So they left you alone for a while, did they, and allowed you to film and take the story from there?
They did, but then at the end, the chief of the NFTA Transit Police came up to us and said, he doesn't know what the TSA policy on filming is. We tried to educate him on it over and over again, and he said that, you know, he doesn't know about it, and in his opinion, we're not allowed to film, so he's saying we can't film the TSA checkpoint.
And I said, well, in fact, we can. Mm-hmm. I even double-checked the website before I came here, and he says, well, so you say.
Yeah.
And the one guy was saying, can you just not point it that way, the camera, towards the checkpoint? Right. And I said, you know, I'm sorry. That's the whole point of coming here was to film the TSA. So I'm sorry, but no, I'm not going to point the camera the other way at nothing.
Right.
A wall. You know, they didn't even, like you said, Paul, the funny thing is they didn't even know their own rights. They had to double check. I got asked for ID, for example.
Yes, that's another thing. They kept asking us over and over again for our names.
And when I told them, I do not have to present my ID to you, the one officer there was a little taken aback and was, of course you do, kind of a look on her face and said, you know, what do you mean? And I said, well, do you suspect us of committing some sort of a crime? You know, we haven't done anything wrong. We're not doing anything illegal. We don't have to present our papers here.
This is America, land of the free. You don't have to present your papers on demand. Sorry, go ahead.
That reminds me. I had a conversation with the chief of police there, and I said, you know, it's places like Germany where you have to present your papers upon request. And he said, good. Good. That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
As in Germany.
Yeah, exactly. The chief, their boss said that.
Like Germany. Great. Well, I'm sure he's been trained well. So the police basically threatened to, if you don't stop, then we're going to arrest you. Is that what happened?
Pretty much. Well, just with the soliciting, as they called it. And again, the one lady admitted, I'm not even positive if this is considered soliciting or not. But at that point, you know, we said, you know what, let's just continue to do what we came here to do. We'll inform the people of their options. We'll film the TSA and not let that little snag slip us up there. Mm-hmm. But we're really looking forward to putting this video together. Really interesting conversations. The topic of 9/11 came up a bunch of times.
Yes.
The one guy mainly was saying, well, 9/11, right? I mean, look what happened there. Obviously, we need to, you know, these are all necessary procedures, and nothing has happened since 9/11. And I said, well, sir, maybe that's because there's no real threat to begin with in the first place. And he just kind of stared at me for a second, said, you will have to agree to disagree on that. But the topic of 9/11 came up a number of times, suggesting this is why we're doing this. And I tried to explain to them, guys, this is a very, very slippery slope, an incremental push towards a very tyrannical police state. I mean, there's nations that have just awoken to this police state and they don't realize how they got there. So unless we address these things as they arise in these small incremental steps, we too could very soon wake up in this police state going, what on earth has happened? What is going on here? I tried to explain that to them. Luckily, obviously, the cameras were rolling the whole time. So we can't wait to show you guys some of the interesting conversations we had with these guys.
Yeah, we got so much on film.
Well, I can't wait to see it. I mean, yeah, on the topic of 9/11, I mean, the TSA was created shortly after 9/11. Of course, 16,500 employees. That's now up to 60,000. And they failed to catch a single terrorist, but they are quite good at letting weapons through, you know, stealing iPads, stealing people's money, smacking people in the testicles who refuse to go for a body scan. I've actually received emails over the past 2 days from several different people saying that the TSA at different airports is forcing people to go through the body scanner, even if they opt out, even if they say, I want to exercise my right to opt out. The TSA is forcing people to go through it. And even a cancer victim who was in tears, they forced her to go through the scanner. So I'm wondering if that's a general thing or if it's in response to this week's opt-out protest. We're going to continue to talk to Dan Dix and Ashley Jessica. Dan Dix, of course, pressfortruth.tv. Ashley Jessica, who's helped us organize this campaign. It was her idea to begin with. We're going to go to more news stories about the TSA that actually came out publicly and issued a warning that people could be arrested by the police if they take part in the TSA opt-out and film week campaign. That story's up on Infowars.com. And basically, they admitted that their own policy says people are allowed to film at checkpoints in airports, but local ordinances and laws could mean that people would get harassed by the police. Of course, the First Court of Appeals has ruled repeatedly that filming police in the United States is not illegal. Apparently, some TSA officers, as Dan and Ashley just described, think that they're above the law, even though they're not technically officers, because they have to go through absolutely zero police training whatsoever, but they still get to wear the shiny badge and feel powerful while they're groping children. So we're going to go to Dan and Ashley more after the break on the Infowars.com Alex Jones Show. Stay tuned. We'll be back. More breaking news on the TSA as we return on the Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph Watson, in for Alex Jones. TSA reportedly exposed breasts as Ralph Hall's teen grandniece called it accidental. And this is a Republican congressman from Texas. His grandniece, a 17-year-old girl, went through security at LAX airport, and the TSA agent, in the course of the pat-down, exposed her breasts in public. This is a big breaking story. Just amazing. I say every day the TSA gets caught out in a new scandal. I mean, sometimes it's multiple times daily. I've never known another organization or branch of government agency that can get so much bad publicity and yet still remain not only in one piece, but growing thousands upon thousands of new agents each year, thousands upon thousands of new unannounced checkpoints each year, not only in airports, that's key to emphasize, but also highways, of course, political events, music concerts, prom nights, you name it. The TSA is expanding, and that's why we're standing up against it during opt-out and film week here. So, Dan and Ashley, any other points about what you experienced? I mean, were you able to film some of the pat-downs? Did you notice the TSA being any less invasive because you were filming them?
That's quite possible. We were filming some of that, some of them walking through the machine, some of the pat-downs. And we made that point to some of the passengers walking in, is the fact that, you know, when you have those cameras rolling, it protects you. It acts as a layer of protection. They may think twice about doing some of the things that they would normally do when they're under the eyes of the camera. So we pointed that out to the people walking in there as well. And as far as, like you said, the they're just expanding big time. That all comes back to the fact that they're not really doing any serious training or real background checks. Mm-hmm. They're just bringing on anyone and everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
what advice would you give to other people who are thinking about taking part in this opt-out and film campaign this week?
Just know your rights, assert your rights when the TSA or airport police try to intimidate you, and
stand your ground. Absolutely. Because these guys don't even know their own laws, half of them.
It's ridiculous.
A good idea that we would suggest people do is maybe look up on the TSA's website and find the page where it talks about the fact that you are allowed to film the TSA and the checkpoints, and print that out, because no doubt they're going to challenge you on that. They're going to say, you know what, I'm not sure about that. Let me check into that. And at that point, you can just pull it right out of your pocket and say, here, I'll save you the time. Here it is right here.
Exactly.
I'm allowed to do this. So that's something people can do. You know, print that sheet out, have it on you in your pocket while you're there, and bring plenty of battery power, plenty of tapes, whatever you need. You don't know how long it's going to take. And just as we said, stand your ground, know your rights, because these guys don't. And just assert your rights to them. Let them know, look, I don't have to give you my ID. Yes. I can't continue to film. I'm not going to point the camera this way. You know, we're here to take part in this campaign and you can't stop us, basically.
And I guess if you could find some public property, it might be worth also handing out the flyers outside the airport.
I think that's a great idea to avoid the harassment and being threatened with arrest for soliciting. I think that's the best idea. Hand it out to travelers walking inside. Let them know. I think the most important thing is to just alert as many people as possible about the campaign, about their right to opt out and their right to film, and why it's so important to do both.
The thing that gets me about it is, you know, I go on Twitter and search TSA opt out. Most of it is people laughing and joking. There's actually one I saw today about a woman who laughed.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It's Paul Joseph Watson in for Alex Jones on this edition of the Alex Jones Show. Alex will be back tomorrow. We're going to do a rebroadcast starting in about 5 or 6 minutes' time. Breaking news, Infowars.com, TSA tacit threat to opt-out journalist. We know who you are. The TSA has publicly slammed a journalist who opted out of an X-ray body scan and then reported that her genitals were groped by an agent who refused to provide her name and even wore her TSA badge upside down to avoid being identified. So the TSA is now publicly naming journalists who opt out of the body scanner and who write stories about it, just as they put the CNN journalist on a list when he wrote critical news stories about the federal agency. They actually target people who criticize them. It's occurred on a number of different occasions. We've got their internal memos attesting to that. Still waiting the internal memos on the fact that during the last National Opt-Out Day campaign, the TSA mentioned the Drudge Report, Alex Jones, and Infowars.com. In their internal memos, 9 pages, they refused to release them under the Freedom of Information Act request. They're still holding on to them. We still don't know what's contained in those memos. We're talking with Dan Dix and Ashley Jessica, who were involved in the campaign yesterday there at Buffalo Airport. Dan and Ashley, just closing thoughts. When do you expect to get your video up on YouTube, and any closing thoughts about what you experienced at the hands of the TSA?
Well, you would know when the video is going to be out.
I'll be tomorrow, so we'll be getting it up as soon as we possibly can, likely by tomorrow night or by most likely Thursday by the latest. That's the plan. And I know you got some stuff planned.
I just want to let people know I'll be continuing to visit airports in the U.S. throughout the week. I'll be at Albany, New York Airport this weekend, most likely. And I'm not going to let a little harassment stop me from spreading the message and alerting people about the campaign.
And Ashley, tell people how they can contact you to get involved in that.
Yeah, so people can contact me on Twitter at Ashley Jessica. And also, you can go to the Facebook page, just search Opt Out and Film Week in the Facebook search engine, and you can send me a message through there.
And if people want to tune into the video, you can check that out at pressfortruth.ca. And of course, I'll have it on my YouTube channel as well at youtube.com/weavingspider.
Okay, guys, thanks for joining us. Ashley, keep us up to date on what else is happening this week. Of course, Infowars.com is going to have the latest TSA opt-out and film news. And we really appreciate your guys' activism. It's an inspiration to others to get involved in this campaign. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. There you go, Dan Dix and Ashley Jessica. We're going to wrap it up shortly on this edition of the Alex Jones Show. We're going to go to a rebroadcast with some of the best interviews from recent Alex Jones shows. But just to reemphasize, the campaign information is at infowars.com/opt-out. It's about opting out of the ridiculous TSA obedience training measures, not just the body scanner, but also the chat downs, the drink tests, and everything about it. and also using your First Amendment rights to film the TSA, which is perfectly legal. It says so on the TSA's own website, no matter the fact, as you heard in the last segment, the TSA doesn't actually know its own policies. It is on their website. You're allowed to film. So we encourage people to do that, and it's all at infowars.com/opt-out. And of course, throughout the week, I'm going to be writing numerous articles about this campaign, about the latest scandals involving the TSA, and that will all be at infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. That's going to do it, though, for this edition of the Alex Jones Show rebroadcast coming up. Stay tuned for that. Alex is out sick. He'll be back tomorrow. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. Infowars.com for all the latest TSA news. And this is the Alex Jones Show. Stay tuned for more interviews after the break.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
I know you deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles and miles.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here Monday through Friday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. We're going to Edwin Vieira Jr., holds 4 degrees from Harvard, is a PhD of their law school. I'm not going to go over it all, but he is one of Ron Paul's advisors and favorite constitutional lawyers, one of mine as well. We're going to be getting so many other constitutional lawyers on, like Stuart Rhodes. We're also, in the next few days, going to be getting Mr. Fine on, as one of Ron Paul's advisors and a congressional advisor, constitutional lawyer. I've read the Declaration of Independence. I've read the Bill of Rights, Constitution. I read the debates in the newspapers from the time. I have talked to literally hundreds of constitutional lawyers. I've studied the law, and I wanted to get one of the chief recognized experts and, you know, one of the founders of the modern militia movement from a point of law on with us, a man who's launched a lot of major movements we see today based on what we saw 230 plus years ago. But to restate it for stations that just joined us, this is the most important broadcast we've ever done. The manifestation of 1,200,000 and counting signatures by all 50 states, now over 15 states qualifying for the White House to have to respond, that is more than symbolic. It shows the people saying we will not go under socialism. We are not slaves. This is all unconstitutional. NORTHCOM, NDAA, government health care written by foreign bank-owned insurance companies. We're not going along with this. And Ron Paul and his incredible speech, we're going to play some excerpts coming up, 49 minutes, it's up at InfoWars.com. He said, we're under fascism, it's premeditated, it is psychopathic organized evil. These are quotes, by the way. He said, it is world government. They have announced all over the news, we played the clips, et nauseum, where they say we've been conquered by foreign banks and laugh at us on CNBC, Bloomberg TV, Financial Times of London. This is a legal declaration, just as Europe's been conquered by being signed on to banker derivatives. We are now here. We are being conquered. And I say, as we go to the lawyer, to a constitutional lawyer to get his, one of the chief experts, to get his take on this plan, and I don't know his take on this yet. I mean, I do know what it's going to be because I've read his books, researched what he's saying. But we have to get out front and not let hundreds of newspapers, TV say it's racist to talk about seceding and that people are mad because Obama's black. No, we're mad because he's announcing cybersecurity takeover executive order, because they're announcing we're under socialism, because the country's going to hell in a handbasket. We have to point out the blue states are all going bankrupt. Not that the Republicans are much better, but people at least voted for the lesser of two evils there. They understand the road to perdition we're on. We must go to the legislatures, and I want Mr. Vieira's take on this right now. We must go to the legislatures now and say, with versions of a new Declaration of Independence with the same facts in the original from 1776, July 4th, and say, we need to have groups organized through the Governor's Council, not the fake FEMA one, but the real Governor's Council, the legislative councils led by people like Dr. Vieira, like Ron Paul, like Lou Rockwell, countless other patriots out there, that it's now time to say we are seceding to restore the republic, but to also reconstitute the federal government, which is fascistic, is tyrannical, is spying on us illegally, and is producing a total tyranny of domination because they know the people are waking up. It is now time to admit how bad it is and move at the states and explain. The country's been conquered by globalists, as Ron Paul said in his speech. Let's just tell it like it is. They bragged. Reconstitute the republic. Secession for survival. Secession to restore the republic. Secession because we've been conquered by foreign banks. And get that word out. Get different petitions circulating. Get different versions of a new Declaration of Independence. Then have a large meeting of governors, legislators that want to come, organized by Ron Paul, Campaign for Liberty, because he's respected and because we trust him, to have that meeting. And then to go forth building that idea. This went on for a decade before 1776. And we've got to do this before they come for the guns. They're planning a civil war. They're now billing it that Obama's Lincoln too. The states are racist. They've got petitions at the White House. I've got it right here. I'll show you a document cam shot of your viewer to arrest people signing the petitions, to organize federal militias, to occupy the states, to implement all these plans. Folks, this is going to really get bad. They're now going to try to totally take over America. They've said they're going to try to say all semi-autos have to be handed in. Now, again, his website, we'll give that to you in a moment. Edwin Vieira Jr. Holds 4 degrees from Harvard, AB Harvard College, AM with PhD Harvard Graduate School of Arts and Sciences, and JD Harvard Law School. For more than 30 years, he's practiced law with emphasis on constitutional issues in the Supreme Court of the United States. He successfully argued or briefed the case leading to the landmark decision, Bood versus Detroit Board of Education, Chicago Teachers. I'm not going to go over all his landmark cases, but I mean, he is a chief amongst constitutional lawyers. I've done my excited introduction, sir, but the crest of the wave from Julius Caesar, the play written by, the greatest playwright of all time, William Shakespeare, his version of Julius Caesar. There is a tide in the affairs of men when taken at the flood leads on to fortune. Our fortune is liberty and freedom. That's the treasure we seek. Can you not intellectually, but also in your gut, sir, feel the great wave that is now cresting and we've got to surf that thing into victory? Now is the time to go on the offense. What do you think of my statement of redeclaration of independence, a re-upload of the original republic, and kicking out and trashing this New World Order takeover, sir?
Well, I think that's the key element. This is not really a revolutionary activity that we're talking about. It's a restoration. A restoration of the principles of the Declaration, and then a restoration of the constitutional principles, which are founded on the principles of the Declaration of Independence. So I've become a little bit leery of the word bantered around too freely, because I don't think the goal ultimately is for particular states to remove themselves from the Union in the sense of becoming independent republics, independent sovereignty, but to assert state authority, which is really at the basis of the entire federal system, so as to restore the principles of the Constitution in Washington, D.C., to the extent that that can be done in the long term, and in the short term, to return as much economic and political power to the states and the people as is possible. So I've always said this is a matter fundamentally of what I would call interposition, number one, the states stepping forward and telling those people in Washington that there are certain lines that cannot be crossed constitutionally, and if they are, the states will assert the powers that they have under the Constitution to interpose themselves in favor of their people against essentially rogue attacks that are coming out of the District of Columbia. And then secondly, the enactment of certain kinds of legislation that is completely constitutional, completely within the authorities of the states to put into effect. I would say number one is the restoration, as I've said many times, the restoration of the constitutional militia of the several states. These are institutions that the Constitution foresees are to be permanent. They're at the same status as constitutionality, at least, of Congress, the president, the court system, even the states themselves. They were put in there for a very specific purpose because the Founding Fathers understood, as the Second Amendment tells us, a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. And this concept of a free state is the ultimate purpose of both the Constitution and the Declaration. So that, in a sense, as Ford Motor Company used to say, is job one. We have to restore those institutions to their constitutional position within each of the states. And when we do that, those institutions become a foundation for taking many actions that are necessary to give the states the kind of political and economic, I won't say autonomy necessarily, but certainly clout. You can't have a really independent state political and economic policy while the state and its people are tied to the Federal Reserve System. It's impossible. You have to have an alternative monetary system, and we're going to need that in any event because the Federal Reserve System is coming down one way or the other. It's going to go into very serious crisis, could be hyperinflationary, could be a depression, could be a combination of both. But the end of that fiat money central banking paradigm, if you will, you can see it on the near horizon. So that's step number one. That could be done through a militia. We need to take control of food security and energy security within each state. That can be done through a state militia. We need to assert all of the aspects of local homeland security. FEMA has nothing to do with those things. The Department of Homeland Security has nothing to do with those things. Once the state militia is organized, the state militia will have control of those matters. Oh, and by the way, as the Constitution points out, the only officers of the state militia are, of course, appointed by the states, which means that those civilian officials in the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, whatever, have precisely no authority under those circumstances. So you essentially freeze them out of this process as well. So there's a whole series of steps that can be taken, but they have to be taken within the clear constitutional paradigm. That's really our problem. You know, this is a situation where we've been driving the Mercedes down the road, and now all of a sudden the engine starts chugging and it stops. And we go out, we lift up the hood, and we look. We don't know what to do. Why not? Because we haven't read the book of instructions, which tells us, go fill up the gas tank on a regular basis, right? Look at the gas gauge, or look at the oil gauge, whatever it is, right? We have a book of instructions the Founding Fathers gave us for living in a free state under a limited government in which the first purpose is, as the preamble says, securing the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.
Dr. Edwin Vieira, constitutional lawyer, advisor to Ron Paul, is our guest. I want you to continue, sir, and we're going to skip this network break because this is so important. What I'm saying is you're a constitutional lawyer, and obviously we have a right to secede. We have a right to revolt. My point is I've always been leery of secession because the system just demonizes it as a new civil war, and they say it's been decided you can't secede because of what Abraham Lincoln did. Obviously, though, this isn't even a question of the federal government being out of control. The globalists have taken over the federal government. So I am saying the way to phrase it, and I've seen this get through to people because it's the reality, is foreign banks brag they've captured the federal government. It's totally destroyed the federal system, the Bill of Rights, Constitution. They call us anti-federalists. They're not even following the federal system. This is globalism. This is New World Order. So what I'm saying is, with the dumbed-down public, they can grasp secession, that we want our own states. We're disagreeing with what you're doing. It will accelerate this process because the feds call states' rights secession. They don't even think there should be a state. And so if states say they should decide what the speed limit is, you know, I mean, Democrats say, hey, let's just go arrest their governor. So we know there's a federal globalist socialist tyranny now running Washington. As Ron Paul says in his speech, it's over if we don't reverse this. I'm saying it's now time to up the ante and say, okay, we call secession kicking out the occupying globalist to restore the republic because the feds have been captured. We're going to move at the states and start having that discussion of a different type of secession to restore the republic, because you have the states secede saying we're still America. DC isn't America, doctor. And so we're going to do it to re-upload the Bill of Rights, Constitution via the Declaration of Independence. because the federal government has been lost to foreign special interests. That's my point, is we have to clearly make the break and have the state leaders, members of the federal system, start meeting, start having discussions, start circulating, as you know, for many years, you know, a new Declaration of Independence or redress of grievances they were giving to the crown before we got to the codification of what Thomas Jefferson wrote there in the weeks leading up to July 4, 1776. That's what I'm saying, is we need to go ahead and up the ante to get the energy going so people understand it's not just this slow movement of states' rights, which the feds just ignore and are now bankrupting the states. I mean, the feds are coming in, sir, as you know, under new rules saying $100,000 fine if you wash your car in your yard, 6 years in jail if your dog craps in your own yard. Excuse my French. I mean, the tyranny was dribbling out now. The cup has been turned over, sir. So what I'm saying is, I'm calling to draft Ron Paul. We're writing up and codifying a basic battle plan stating, hey, secession isn't create our other countries. Our country's gone. We want the states that created the America to recreate it. Do you see what I'm saying? Kind of a reboot?
Well, yes, and I agree with this principle, because I have said, and I have a book coming out very shortly which goes into this in great detail, that when you talk about the Declaration of Independence, for instance, it was not really a revolutionary document. It was a document that looked to the restoration of the principles, the laws of nature and of nature's God.
Magna Carta.
Which they believed, quite rightly, that King George and his ministerial government were violating. And that's essentially our problem today. It's the same Declaration of Independence type situation. You have people in a central governmental apparatus.
Lawless criminals.
Well, however you want to describe them, they are violating the fundamental laws of this country. They're violating the principles of the Declaration of Independence through globalism. They're violating the laws of nature and of nature's God, left, right, and center, and doing this with impunity. And we have a federal system that is built upon checks and balances. And if we look at that imbalance, which is coming out of the District of Columbia, and ask what are the checks that are supposed to be brought into play, well, they are two. They are the state governments, number one, because they're in the middle of this pyramidal structure, and then at the base, the thing that forms the foundation, the people themselves. We have been very lax in those two levels, in the states essentially pushing back against these encroachments coming out of Washington, and ultimately in the people not demanding of their state governments, as well as the government in Washington, that these kinds of actions be taken consistent with the Constitution. So I say, I'm really not in favor of the word secession, because that tends to throw people's minds back to the historical period of the Civil War.
Okay, then what do you exactly? So we need to. Exactly. So I have a battle plan. We need to come up with a basic plan with you and others of what to call it to start our own petitions, just because it gets media attention on the White House website, so that people see the real way. So we call for a second state continental Congress. To have the states meet and say, what do we do about this rogue federal government? And so what do we call that, sir?
Well, I'd call it a committee to restore the constitutional principles in this country. I mean, cut that down into a sound bite, but basically that's what we're doing. Constitutional principles and, of course, the principles of the Declaration of Independence. Because the real danger looming down the road is globalism. It's the destruction of the separate and equal status among the nations.
Exactly,
of the world,
exactly.
The Declaration of Independence gave us.
That's it. Exactly, exactly, doctor. So what I'm asking you, as the top constitutional lawyer, is we need to explain this to a six-year-old level to get it out there, because the media is phrasing any states' rights as Civil War, Ku Klux Klan. And so, Reconstruction, whatever. And that's how they want to roll this out. I'm saying we just, to take control of it, we label the constitutional restoration movement as secession from the globalist, from the occupied federal government, not the secession that the Democrats told you about. So we need to explain that America has been conquered by globalism. This is a restoration, but how do you put that out to people to explain? Because for me, that's the key, is that, folks, the government's gone. That's why it's so lawless. They're under technocrats in Europe now. This is bona fide. I mean, Ron Paul's speech lays it out, folks. We're in it. This is real. And so I'm saying, get the states, movements. People think it's a petition to Obama. That's good to get attention with ideas. That's like circulating petitions before 1776, as you know. But I'm saying get petitions going, get committee hearings in the state legislatures, get this buzz going, because this is what the whole globalist architecture is set up to block, because it's the key to restoring our republic. Their entire defense is set up against this because this is the answer.
Well, I think that's right. And two things. We wanted to project the idea that we maintain our independence from this globalist structure. I don't like the idea of saying we're seceding from it, because I don't think they've won yet. They're close to it, but they haven't won yet. And I don't like the word secession, because the other side uses that to bring up the concept of slavery, racism, and so forth and so on, which I think is entirely red herring, because it doesn't make any difference whether you're black or white. Liberty is the best thing for you, period. End of discussion, right? But they're going to play on that word constantly in order to divide and conquer people on a racial basis. So we don't want to give them that rhetorical.
Okay, then how do we seize the wave, though, and get the movement going? I mean, we need Ron Paul yourself. If Ron Paul makes the call and puts together a meeting and invites state and federal legislators and governors, people will show up. It will be seen as a recodification, a reissuance of the Declaration, and then a battle plan to go to the states. It must happen now. Ron Paul's retiring. I know he wants to push for internet freedom. That's the new plan, because they had a focus group, ask all the Campaign for Liberty people what they wanted. That's great, but that's not the battle plan. We have got to draft Ron Paul now to launch this operation.
And through Ron Paul, to find those leaders at the state level who will take a position in the forefront. That's always been my concern. After you go beyond Ron Paul, where are the leaders at the state level who are going to perform this function?
Yes, sir.
Right?
But this is his greatest moment. That's what I'm saying. And with you and with Mr. Fine and other constitutional lawyers who have charted from our birth the way forward, we must. It's our responsibility. There is no doubt that Ron Paul, you, and others must get together. This is where Campaign for Liberty must go.
Well, I think that's right, and the very fact that there is such a groundswell developing in this country,
yes,
now is the time to take advantage of that.
It's history, sir. This is 1776. In my heart and intellectually, do you not feel that and know that, sir?
Well, it's probably about 1773, probably closer to it, if you look at the history.
Yes, but I mean the birth of it.
In this way, when they started organizing politically, when they started looking forward to what they feared was going to happen if the king and the ministry didn't accede to some reforms, it took them 2 or 3 years to get that organization, that structure set up. And then finally, when the English government, the British government, refused to comply with the colonists' justifiable demands, then, of course, other things happened.
Stay there, sir. Walk us through this for 5-6 more minutes on the other side, then we'll play clips of the Ron Paul speech. Exactly. I'm saying this is the beginning of 1776. As I said in the last hour, this will take 2 to 3 years. He didn't even know I said that. This we're on the same page. God bless you, Dr. Vieira. We'll be right back.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Don't tread on me.
Don't tread on me.
Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Love it or leave it. The globalists have now signed petitions. I have them right here. We've done articles on it. Paul Watson has one. They're saying arrest us, imprison us, strip us of citizenship, put us in labor camps. I mean, they're getting 20, 30,000 signatures for these. So we're seeing who the Democrats are. This is what socialists always do. Once things start imploding, they go, just put the workers in a camp. At first, it's make them come out and, dig ditches. And it's all about nobody's running your life. I mean, we know where this leads. But the globalists don't care. They want total domination. They want to start a civil war, marching the military and police off to confiscate our guns. Obama is certainly looking at, as the NRA documented and has now admitted, on banning all semi-autos, where you got to turn them in. Because they don't want us to start a peaceful states' rights movement and restore the republic. They know you're waking up. They know Europe's waking up. This is a banking cartel takeover, as Ron Paul said. I'm going to play that clip in about 7-8 minutes after constitutional lawyer and advisor to Ron Paul, Edwin Vieira, leaves us. Doctor, I'm going to try to give you the floor because I'm so excited at this historical crest. Repeat to folks what you told me during the break about Ron Paul and the mantle and where we're going, and that you concur and that you're going to talk to him and everybody else should. And we're going to get Bruce Fein, constitutional lawyer and advisor to Ron Paul, on. Lou Rockwell, I'm going to call all his sources. I'm going to get a hold of Ron Paul, and I'm going to say now is the time to step into the leadership to organize as your final, you know, incredible work. This is such a great work that we're talking about here, to build the foundation going into this tyranny of the resistance. This is it. I know Ron Paul, who's accepted the draft twice, will accept it a third time. And he has thrown some of the little minions out of Campaign for Liberty that were saying, don't talk about the New World Order. He has exposed the global government in his speech. Dr. Vieira, what is your battle plan? What is your idea? That's why we got you on, to get these ideas out, to set brush fires, and then to codify the plan based on our forebearer's successful operation.
Well, as I said to you during the break, Alex, the first step is for Ron Paul to come forward and assume the mantle of leadership here. If you look at the parallel, the American independence movement, we had just paragons of intellectual and political virtue, the Jeffersons, the Adamses, the Patrick Henrys, even the Alexander Hamiltons. But there was one man who stood out and had to stand out. Of course, that was George Washington. And that's exactly what we need at this point in time. Here is the man of undoubted integrity. Here is the man who has been telling us and warning us about these problems, not just for years, but for decades. Here's the man who has proven right, and he needs to be the figure who stands in the forefront of this movement to restore the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And then he needs to find, really, at the state level, more than anywhere else, I'm not so concerned about finding him yet in Washington, D.C., but at the state level, leaders of that caliber, with the integrity, with the political acumen, with the willingness to take on this project, not simply because their own political careers might be advanced, because initially I think they won't be, but because the welfare of the American people will be advanced. And then he needs to bring in, with that group, a sizable number of advisors who have, well, what I would call a fair track record on these economic and political issues. If he wants to call on me as an advisor, I'll be perfectly willing to come forward and work with him. And I think that there are probably dozens or hundreds of others like me out in the country that would say and do exactly the same thing. But it needs his leadership. He is the national figure here. He is the one whom everyone on either side of the political yellow line, if you will, recognizes. They recognize him for his personal integrity, they recognize him for the leadership role he's taken at the national level, and ultimately they recognize this is a man who not only has been right, but has never compromised his principles, which is the real key. Because what's gone on in the destruction of our constitutional system is the systematic compromise and prostitution of principles for politicians in order to advance their personal careers. And this is one man who's never done that, the only one I can think of, really, at that level who has not done it.
Yes, sir.
So people need to get to him and urge him with a capital U, to step forward as essentially his last act in the political arena to take on and begin this project.
I can feel history rising. I can feel the spirit of 1776 like I've never felt it, listeners. You know that. This is the most important broadcast we've ever done, and Dr. Vieira feels it. I feel it. You can see it. And here's what must be understood. Campaign for Liberty are great people. I've gotten mad at some of the folks there trying to, you know, play patty cake, some of the young men that have become political consultants for the mainline Republican Party. Folks that have married into the Pauls, like Jesse Benton, you know, people like Jack Hunter that are involved, who go out to eat with billionaires and kind of get stars in their eyes. They're not bad guys. They're just not Ron Paul. Rand Paul, I've known for 15, 16 years. He used to come on and campaign for his dad. He's a good guy. He's just up there trying to position himself, to be able to win the presidency later. And I get that. That's not going to happen, folks. In 4 years, in 8 years, the globalists are going to win. or it's going to be a civil war. We got to be all in now, folks. That's why they're moving so fast. I've got three children, and I've got to sit there with my wife, who's extremely intelligent, and she, you know, has degrees in history, and she's like, okay, but, you know, we got to get out of here. And she's lived all over the world. And her dad worked for the Department of Agriculture. And she's like, we got to get out of here. And I've got to say, no, we're putting it all on the line. We're staying. I've signed my name to the new Declaration of Independence. I'm all in, folks. I mean, I've got dirty tricks happening to me you wouldn't believe. It's like a movie. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm all in. Because, folks, there's nowhere to run. This is history. And people that are scared, you don't understand. You should be scared of not taking action. And there are people in Campaign for Liberty who will say, oh, let's just work with the system. Let's take over the Republicans. And they have been getting people like Cruz elected over the neocon, you know, in the Senate here in Texas. They're getting a lot of good people in who, at least on the surface, are saying the right thing. So Campaign for Liberty, I've analyzed all this, as Dr. Vieira's breaking down. He's analyzed it. Campaign for Liberty already knows who the good guys are in all the states. It's already got all our money. We gave it. It's got everything. It is the zenith. It is the launch pad. It is the fulcrum. It is the progenitor. As I said in the first hour, we're 3 years out, 2 to 3 years. We have to launch now. History is repeating itself, and the entire globalist operation is designed to stop a states' rights restoration movement that Dr. Vieira has laid out to Ron Paul. And again, Ron Paul has his own ideas historically going to the same documents, but he sources Dr. Vieira and his battle plan. Dr. Fine, you know, both constitutional, you know, lawyers, PhDs. This is it. But I separately have gone and done the research, and it is incredible. Sir, thank you so much. I hope you'll come back very soon to really lay out some battle plans. I know you've already laid them out, but if you'd put out articles, it's articles that lay it out. We're writing an article that others can add to. I think we should all invade. Anybody can do it. Whitehouse.gov/petitions, and everyone should codify their own ideas of a restoration. And we see the authoritarian lust. The Democrats want to get a civil war going. We need to reach out to the military and police now. This is a very perilous time we're in, and they're going to call us secessionist. So I just simply say restorationist through the states, reconvening a constitutional Congress. And so we need you, the constitutional lawyers and others, to codify different plans, to help Ron Paul adopt a strategy, and to launch now. Any other points you'd like to make, Doctor?
America is the last bastion of human freedom in the world today. This is our responsibility as Americans. And my view has always been we need to take action immediately, if not sooner.
We can't wait for Rand Paul. Do you agree we don't have 4 to 8 years to play patty cake with the Republicans?
No, because the economic freight train is coming down the tracks at us at a very high velocity. We can't avoid that. And what will be the political consequences of a complete breakup of the international banking system?
And they're going to use that meltdown as
absolutely
a way to...
Absolutely. They'll try to use it for their benefit. And we're facing that, and they're not going to be able to prevent it from happening, but they're going to try and use it. We're facing that train wreck, and we have to prepare ourselves to deal with that now.
Now. Now.
That's right. That's the operative word.
I pledge myself, Doctor, to you and Dr. Paul. I pledge myself to my family before God on the altar of liberty, as Thomas Jefferson said. I swear eternal resistance to every form of tyranny over the mind of humankind. And I know you pledge with me now, and the listeners pledge. We aren't going to stop. We're drafting Ron Paul. We're drafting all liberty lovers. Go to your state houses now. Go visit the state reps. Go visit your congresspeople now. Ring the bell of liberty. Ride like Paul Revere. Get your banners out. We have begun the restoration. Nothing will stop it. Do you pledge that with me, Dr. Vieira?
Absolutely. I've been doing that for a long time, Alex.
I know, but I'm just all of us here together.
That's right. We have our work cut out for us. What's the old saying? When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
It's always darkest before the dawn. It had to get bad before people get up.
That's right. And now is the time.
And they want to start the civil war with the gun confiscation. We've got a race now to accelerate our operations against them. It may be able to back them off and buy us time. But Sir, what is? I know there's a lot of sites that post your great articles, your books, your materials. Where's the best place to find your information?
Right now it's at newswithviews.com. One word, newswithviews.com.
Yes, sir. Excellent material. All right, we've got our work cut out, but the tide and the affairs of men, when taken at the flood, leads on to liberty. God bless you, sir.
Thank you, Alex. Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. And again, now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. I do not have words to describe. We're going to cover it more on the nightly news tonight. We're going to cover it more tomorrow on the Sunday show. I'll be live. I'm going to play large excerpts of this. I want to play a particularly powerful part of the 49-minute speech that Ron Paul gave on the House floor. He called it Questions. Excessive government has created such a mess, it prompts many questions. He goes through those. We'll go to break with that. Then we're going to come back with his conclusion, how we've been conquered by world government. Only admitting we've been conquered fraudulently. You got to admit you're a slave before you start becoming free. And let me tell you, the greatest honor I've ever had, the greatest treasure, even above my children, because they have no future if we don't win, is that God saw fit to take a wretch like me and to rise me up in all the things that happened in my life to prepare me for this moment of what we're beginning now. The bell cannot be unrung to know with surety that we're going to win. If God be with us, who can stand against us? And it's time for everyone who's in thought and everything else to repent before God. I even repent for nasty things I've said about Glenn Beck. I should have responded to him more gentlemanly. I apologize for when he said bad things about me being worldly. We don't have time for this. We don't have time to fight with each other anymore. We don't have time for all this petty stuff. We have got to come together, all of us. So I repent for my trespasses. Do you repent for yours? All of my enemies out there, please come in for the big win. Please realize how much trouble we're in. Realize how much danger we're in. These globalists are dangerous. We have to get involved now. We have to get aggressive now. We have to go out and wake up everybody we can now. And then we come back in the next segment, his conclusion. You know, we've put, with this show, eugenics back on the map. We've put the fact that we're conquered on the map with that nomenclature. The truth. The truth will set us free. Admit how far we've fallen. Admit how pathetic we've gotten. Only then can we rise again. And Ron Paul is now getting more hardcore because that's all he can do. Now that Ron Paul's leaving Congress, now that his son's in the Senate, all this. Ron Paul, it's time to come out both barrels. I know you're a man after my own heart. I know you know what I know. Say it all. Lay it out. Throw yourself against the New World Order, and all of us will as well. And let all the rest of the Campaign for Liberty establishment types that have infiltrated, let them hit the streets. They're already getting their big Republican jobs. I know you've purged them. Good. Good. Because there is no future now. All in. Here's part of Ron Paul's speech. We'll go to break and finish up with the rest of it. Here he is saying some questions, and he lists the incredible tyranny we're under. Then I have some other points. Here it is.
I have a few questions. Excessive government has created such a mess, it prompts many questions. Why are sick people who use medical marijuana put in prison? Why does the federal government restrict the drinking of raw milk? Why can't American manufacturers rope and other products from hemp? Why are Americans not allowed to use gold and silver as legal tender as mandated by the Constitution? Why is Germany concerned enough to consider repatriating their gold held by the Fed for her in New York? Is it that the trust in the U.S. and dollar supremacy beginning to wane? Why do our political leaders believe it's necessary to thoroughly audit? Why do our political leaders believe it's unnecessary to thoroughly audit our own gold? Why can't Americans decide which type of light bulbs they can buy? Why is it the TSA permitted to abuse the rights of any American traveling by air? Why should there be mandatory sentences, even up to life, for crimes without victims, as our drug laws require? Why have we allowed the federal government to regulate commodes in our homes? Why is it political suicide for anyone to criticize AIPAC? Why haven't we given up on the drug war, since it's an obvious failure and violates the people's rights? Has nobody notice that the authorities can't even keep drugs out of the prisons? How can making our entire society a prison solve the problem? Why do we sacrifice so much getting necessarily involved in border disputes and civil strife around the world and ignore the root cause of the most dangerous, deadly border in the world, the one between Mexico and the United States? Why does Congress willingly give up its prerogatives to the executive branch? Why does changing the party in power never change policy? Could it be that the views of both parties are essentially the same? Why did the big banks, the large corporations, and foreign banks and foreign central banks get bailed out in 2008 and the middle class lost their jobs and their homes? Why do so many in the government and the federal officials believe that creating money out of thin air creates wealth? Why do so many accept the deeply flawed principle that government bureaucrats and politicians can protect us from ourselves without totally destroying the principle of liberty? Why
folks,
can't people understand that
we're going to come back and finish up the why part of this, and then we're going to get to the most powerful. The whole thing, though, he says we have a cancerous group of psychopaths. That's a quote. Running things. I mean, he lays it all out. World government, we're conquered. It is unbelievable. 49 minutes. And we're just going to cover it and cover it and cover it. Ron Paul is standing up. I mean, it's time to go 110% into the eye of the enemy.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Make no mistake, my friends, you are living history. And I can't believe they have national talk show hosts, not just one, but multiple ones now. Openly saying, don't sign petitions. They'll put you on a list. They'll come get you. Come get me. The war has already begun. It's an info war. The enemy wants to make it physical. Strike me down. I'll become more powerful than you can possibly imagine in the idea. I'm not going to live as a slave, okay? I mean, these globalists are nasty folks. These are eugenicists. They've got a covert war going against us. An undeclared secret war with the chemicals and biologicals in our food and water. We're far gone. We need to get back in their face. All of you people that serve the system, you're victims as well, you fools. We've got a breakaway civilization of technocrats that think they're going to be able to take everything over. Man, we're in trouble. Why did large banks, large corporations, and foreign banks and foreign central banks get bailed out in 2008 and the middle class lost their jobs and their homes? Let's continue with this. Out the rest of this segment, then coming up after Lou Rockwell and others, I'm gonna play about 5 minutes where he has his summation. And boy, he breaks down that we're under global government, unelected global government run by eugenicists. Let's go ahead and go back to his questions. Here it is.
Without totally destroying the principle of liberty, why can't people understand that war always destroys wealth and liberty? Why is there so little concern for the executive order that gives the president authority to establish a kill list, including American citizens, of those targeted for assassination? Why is patriotism thought to be blind loyalty to the government and the politicians who run it, rather than loyalty to the principles of liberty and support for the people? Real patriotism is a willingness to challenge the government when it's wrong. Why is it claimed that if people won't or can't take care of their own needs, that people in government are able to do it for them? Why did we ever give the government a safe haven for initiating violence against the people? Why do so many members defend free markets but not civil liberties? Why do so many members defend civil liberties but not free markets? Aren't they the same? Why don't more defend both economic liberty and personal liberty? Why are there not more individuals who seek to intellectually influence others to bring about positive changes, those who seek changes, than those who seek power to force others to obey their commands? Why does the use of religion to support a social gospel and preemptive wars, both of which require authoritarians to use violence or the threat of violence, go unchallenged? aggression and forced redistribution of wealth has nothing to do with the teachings of the world's great religions. Why do we allow the government and the Federal Reserve to disseminate false information dealing with both economic and foreign policy? Why is democracy held in such high esteem when it's the enemy of the minority and makes all rights relative to the dictates of the majority? Why should anyone be surprised that Congress has no credibility, since there's such a disconnect between what politicians say and what they do? Is there any explanation for all the deception, the unhappiness, the fear of the future, the loss of confidence in our leaders,
yes,
the distrust and the anger
there
and
is.
Frustration?
Because we're under great
yes,
evil.
Yes, there is. And there's a way
all
to
right,
reverse
we're
these
break.
Attitudes.
When we come back, we are going to have Lou Rockwell on. No, actually, we have Porter Stansberry on to break down what's happening in the economy, then Lou Rockwell. But I will continue with clips from this as well, even when Lou Rockwell's on with us. Here's the deal, folks. We're going into total bondage. It's pre-planned, and Ron Paul talks about that in his speech as well.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a record audience we can see at Infowars.com and also on the audio streams. So I would imagine it's like that on XM and on our 140-plus AM and FM affiliates right now. I've been really trying to get him on for a while, and he said he had 30 minutes with us today. Whatever he talks about in this short segment, we'll recap in the next. But Porter Stansberry, you know, he predicted they'd go into QE3. They're now starting it. He predicted so much of what was going to happen in the last decade. And he is now predicting right now, it's in the mainstream news that they're going to try to push for a third term for Obama in the mass depression they're going to engineer. And so we're going to be looking at that and a lot more and where he sees the future of this country. I'll give you his bio more in the next segment. But Porter, great to have you back with us.
Al, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I know you create special websites for different projects. What is the best website for people to go to where you have the proof and the information that they're trying to move in this direction?
It's thirdterm1.com. So thirdterm1.com.
Well, we've got that site up on screen for prisonplanet.tv viewers. We'll continue to give it out. I want to get into the economy with you, but coming up, what are you going to be able to break down for folks with what's happening dealing with the economy?
Well, from the economy standpoint, I've got some numbers for you on these supposed efforts to cut the spending and things like that. I'll show you there's no way they're going to be able to do it. And in regards to Obama's third term, I'd really like people to see that there's a connection between something that's going on in the oil business and presidential politics.
Continuing as well, QE Unlimited has begun, and they are talking about all these major currencies going down. Will people even notice if the big event accelerates?
I think people are definitely going to notice the fact that their purchasing power is being eliminated by the ongoing inflation that the government refuses to recognize.
The website, folks, if you want to see the breakdown, the video presentation is www.3rdterm1.com. That's the number 3, just the numeral 3, just 3, rdterm1, thirdterm1.com is the best way for people to find that URL. And I do think we should discuss this, because if we don't discuss the fact that Democratic operatives are in newspapers that you point out in your presentation up on the site, if we don't point out that they're pushing this and that they're trying to float the idea like they did with Schwarzenegger to change the 22nd Amendment so he could run for president, they're going to end up doing it. I mean, he just signed an executive order today and made it secret what his new cybersecurity takeover is. But we know what the bill was. Even CBS News said it's a takeover of the internet, Chinese-style control.
Yeah, well, you know, if you just look and see what he's been doing to win these elections by ramping up the enormous amounts of spending that the government's giving directly to individuals, $750 billion now on welfare programs that go directly to individuals, food stamp rolls that have increased by 50% in his presidency. If you take just those people who get food stamps, that's like 75% of the people that voted for him. So he and the Democratic Party are engineering these election victories, and I don't think it's unreasonable to believe that he could find a way to engineer the repeal of the 22nd Amendment. But even if he doesn't do that, Alex, that doesn't necessarily mean that he won't have a third term. He could have a proxy, and that's one of the things I talk about. He could put up Eric Holder, for example, to be the next president while he actually remains in control of the administration, much like Putin has done in Russia.
Oh, yeah, Putin with Medvedev, and then he came back again. Medvedev, always have trouble pronouncing it. Porter Stansberry, incredible mind, writer, researcher, investment strategist. We'll be right back with him on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
I love what wimps the average Democratic Party operative is and their minions and people. I mean, it really is shameful to watch as now 1,300,000 and counting. People have signed petitions. All 50 states are about to qualify. Last time I checked, it's like 20 states have now qualified to have to get a White House response because of the number of petitions to secede, but people don't really know. You don't go to the whitehouse.gov to secede. You go to your legislature. I'm not calling for the classical secession. The federal government's been taken over. And so I'm saying have the states get together and organize and say, hold your horses. You're out of control. We want to restore the republic. I mean, the foreign banks brag they've conquered this country, just like they brag they've conquered European nations. And Porter Stansberry predicted all of this. Lou Rockwell's coming up, but they are now threatening people. And he's got an article posted at lewrockwell.com saying, don't do this or you're going to regret it. And they've got their operatives in conservative media saying, don't sign those petitions. It's your right to say we want to secede from this federal thing. Whether it's unsophisticated or not, it's people voicing their concern. So Lou Rockwell is coming up, more Ron Paul's speech where he says world government's taking us over. Porter Stansberry founded Stansberry & Associates Investment Research, a private publishing company based in Baltimore, Maryland in 99. His monthly newsletter, Stansberry Investment Advisory, is one of the biggest in the world. Deals with safe value investments poised to give subscribers years of exceptional returns. Porter oversees a staff investment analyst whose expertise range from a value investing to insider trading to short, and it just continues. Together, Porter and his research team do exhaustive amounts of real-world independent research. They visited more than 200 companies in order to find the best low-risk investments in the world, and they've got a new special website with a video presentation, www.3rdterm1.com. That's third term one. The numbers are just, you know, single numbers, not spelled out. 3rdterm1. And I got to say, yeah, they are floating articles everywhere saying in the news right now, hey, Obama should run for a third term. We're going to get into this, the latest on the economy, QE3, what he sees happening. But first, I got to ask you, Porter, what do you make of them saying you didn't build it? We're going to bankrupt America. We're going to confiscate all semi-automatic rifles and handguns. And Democrats are really saying, hey, let's start arresting people. And you're racist if you don't like world government. I mean, this is even nastier than I thought it would be. This is crazy. I mean, why do you think they're trying to totally take over right now?
I think they believe that they have the votes, that they have the power of the people behind them. And I think if you look at what's going on in our country, they've this idea of class warfare has really materialized, where you have half of the people that voted for Obama receiving enormous direct federal handouts. The Democratic Party has perfected this machine that buys elections. elections. And they're going to see how far they can take that, because it doesn't look like the Republicans can get organized enough to stop them.
Well, that's because they're part of the same globalist system. Where do you think the power structure is trying to take us, Porter?
Well, just look at, you know, just sort of look what look what's going on around the country. You have the highest amount of dependence on the government in the history of the United States. At the same time, you have the federal government beginning to break apart financially. Let me throw this number out at you, Alex, and you tell me where it leads. Right now, the federal government is spending $55,000 per household in the United States. There are 114 million households. Okay? They're spending $55,000 per household on government in the United States right now. The average income per household is only $50,000 in the United States. Does that make any sense? Is there any country in the world that can spend more on government than it earns in income?
It leads towards designed implosion. And the Weekly Standard said it's 61,000, breaking down congressional numbers. But let's just say 55,000, the average welfare household is getting. And they are bringing us into debt servitude. They are deindustrializing the country under Agenda 21. We are being conquered, just like Stalin conquered Ukraine by turning off the economy.
Well, I just look at the numbers side of things, and I can't find any plausible reason that either party would run the country this way. They're dooming generations of Americans to poverty and dependence, and they're doing it by bribing these ignorant voters who will believe anything they read and will do whatever they have to do to get a free buck.
That's worse than that. More and more Democrats, and they talk about it on all the shows. Bill Maher talks about it. They say they're going to just arrest us and put us in forced labor camps. I'm not joking. That's in the new Army manuals. I mean, they're going to come literally put us on plantations, Porter, and let big fat government slobs beat our brains out, rape our wives. I mean, that's really their, I'm not kidding. That's what they want to do.
Well, they're not going to do that to me, Alex. I'm prepared to leave if things turn out like that.
No. But listen, I want listeners to know I'm not joking. They are licking their lips. Misery loves company. They just want to wreck and just decimate everything. I mean, this is what happens in every other country. And look at how decadent we are. Ron Paul talked about it in his farewell speech. He said, we are incredibly immoral and evil. We are run by authoritarian psychopaths. I mean, let me tell you, we cannot underestimate, Porter, how bad it's going to get.
I agree with you completely on the economic side of things. And I thought that Ron Paul's farewell speech was the most poignant political speech I have seen in our country since George Washington's farewell address. That should be mandatory for every American to watch and to listen and to think about. He's the only political leader in the United States who is willing to tell Americans the truth about our government, which is, one, that we're financially bankrupt, and two, that we're morally bankrupt.
America is dead. Basically, Dr. Paul, but we're not physical. We can be resurrected, but we're dead. It's over. We're far gone. By design, we've been conquered, and now we're about to be deindustrialized. Porter, break down what you think Obama's planning from his own operative statements. During the implosion, he'll be the FDR that saves us. Break that down and stay in office.
Well, you know, Alex, I think the one thing that's going on in our country right now that could delay the fiscal implosion is the renaissance in the oil and gas industry in America. It's very powerful, it's very real, and it's going to produce a lot more revenue and a lot more power for politicians. And that is going to, the way I see things, if you look at people who ran for president for three terms, it's Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Obama. And they all had certain things in common. They are all populist. They all spent a lot of money on people. And they are, of course, all very progressive. But the other thing they had in common was, in 1901, there was an oil boom from Spindletop. In 1930, there was an oil boom from East Texas. And right now going on in America is the biggest renaissance in oil since 1930. It's the shale boom. And all this oil is producing huge new revenues for the feds, and also enormous power for Obama, because right now it's against the law to export oil. And so he has the ability to grant licenses that could be worth hundreds of billions of dollars to corporations. course, he's going to use that power and all that leverage to propel himself into a third term.
And yesterday, the Commerce Department announced that the United States is now the number one producer in the world, surpassing Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, most Americans don't realize what's happened over the last 3 or 4 years in the oil fields. There's been a huge renaissance in oil.
Everywhere I drive in Texas, they're drilling.
Yeah, and listen, Alex, that's undeniably bullish for our economy, and it could absolutely sustain our currency for another 5 or 10 years. Because this is gonna really impact our trade deficits, and assuming that we begin to export this excess energy, it could really help the balance of trade for our country. But in the process, it's going to make an icon out of Obama, because he's going to take all this money like Chavez did, and he's going to buy more votes and more power with it, which is exactly what Teddy Roosevelt did, and it's exactly what FDR did.
Well, that's what Lindsey Williams was saying, is that after they imploded the economy, they would bring in all this new oil, and that would buoy things better than the rest of the world, but they'll still be an overall global depression. Or are you saying things will turn around, or you're saying they'll use this as the process of socialization?
I'm saying that this is going to prevent an economic collapse for a certain amount of time. But instead of investing this money wisely to set our country back on a sound footing, they're going to use it to buy more power and more influence. And in the process, of course, they're going to squander this incredible natural resource that we have. And then that's going to put us even further in the hole. No matter how much resource you have, it doesn't matter. I mean, Venezuela is still a poor country, and they have more oil and gas resources than any other place in the world, right? So why can't they get their stuff together? And the answer is because politically, they're using this resource for exactly all the wrong things.
No. 10 years ago, they had power on everywhere. Now the power's out half the time. Folks, you can see the full breakdown of this in an amazing video presentation at 3rdterm1.com. I hope everybody goes there. It's a 3rdterm1.com, just the number 3, and rdterm1.com. We should link to this up at Infowars.com.
You can also go to third term spelled out. It'll also work. Thirdterm1.com will also work.
Yeah, I just keep giving it out because I'm worried it's kind of a long URL.
It's a tricky URL, but just thirdterm1.com. Just go there, and you'll see the whole presentation.
But again, this will allow them to get more people on welfare, and then they will see Obama did it. It's so sick.
Yeah, well, you know, he's going to take credit for all this stuff, even though, of course, he's been against it the whole time. But it doesn't matter, because there is so much money to be made in this. I mean, Alex, you can't imagine how valuable this stuff is. Just think about this for 1 second. The price of WTI oil, that's the price of oil in the United States, is about $85 a barrel. The price of oil anywhere else in the world is about $125 a barrel. That's an enormous spread, okay? And it only costs you a couple dollars a barrel to ship it anywhere you want it.
And okay? It gives you control to drive up or down the market. Wow.
Absolutely. So what's the
stay there, stay there.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
Was an inside job, just like it always is. Horace Dansbury is our guest. We've got to get him on for a full hour soon. We got Lou Rockwell coming up, more Ron Paul's historical speech. We've got to get excited. We got to take the states back. We got to have the states get together and say, we're nullifying you. You want to call that secession, whatever. You seceded. You were taken over by the globalist. That's coffin nails to these people. We're going to draft Ron Paul to get that message out, because he gave that message out in his speech, and that's coming up. Porter, you're right. Putin, you've got the folks out in Argentina using oil to stay in power. You've got Venezuela with Chavez. And there is an oil boom. We're now numero uno, number one oil producer in the world. And it's something that cartels can control and that Obama can manipulate. Please continue. And how that ties in, what will he do in that third term? I mean, we're talking about dictator Obama pretty much here.
I think it's clear, if you look around the world, there's a link between oil and dictatorship. And the reason is, of course, is that oil delivers incredible amounts of wealth. And whoever controls that wealth has all the power. So if you look look at the Kirchners in Argentina, there was a husband and then there was a wife, and they've kept control of the government for a decade. Now, could Michelle Obama run in 4 years? I don't see why not. But I personally think it's going to be a stooge. It's going to be an Eric Holder type guy. And that's assuming that he can't just flat out buy his way out of the 22nd Amendment, which I think he'll be able to. And let me give you some facts that you can focus on, okay? This is the things you should watch for. Right now, there are a dozen U.S. companies, 12 U.S. companies, that have filed for a license to export LNG, which is liquefied natural gas. And Alex, I know you're aware that there is a huge glut of natural gas in the United States. The prices of natural gas have fallen so low that the companies are flaring the stuff off rather than bothering to put it through the pipeline.
They're just keeping it in the ground. They got it turned down. Boy, am I aware of that.
Yeah, okay. So there's nothing wrong with us selling this stuff overseas because we're drowning in it, okay? But they can't. Obama has sat on these licenses for over a year. He will not give anyone a license to export the LNG. Why? Well, very simply, no one's paid him enough money yet. They all wanted to see whether he would win this election. Now that he's won the election, he's going to collect. Think about what happened when he gave up his Senate seat in Illinois. Remember the governor there, Blagojevich guy?
Yes.
Remember what he said when the FBI wiretapped? He said, this thing is effing valuable. I'm going to get something for it, right?
Yes.
Well, they'll believe me, these licenses are worth a lot more than a stupid Senate seat. These things are worth tens or hundreds of billions of dollars because the price of natural gas in Japan is $16 an MCF.
It's also a way to cut Russia off from Europe. Russia's playing blackmail with their natural gas. They're going to have those super tankers ship that stuff to Europe.
This stuff is, this energy we have is the most valuable thing in the world's economy. It's valuable politically, it's valuable in terms of the macro politics of the globe, and most importantly, it's powerful politically. It gives him enormous amounts of power in the country. So if he says, hey, I'll give you a license as long as you back my third term, what's he going to get?
He's going to get the third term. Wow.
He's going to get the third term. So he's going to buy off the poor with welfare, and he's going to buy off the corporations with energy.
Is there any way to stop this nightmare? Because, I mean, he says he's going to try to ban semi-auto guns. That will start a civil war. And then I guess all the corporations will line up behind him to just take over America as long as they can make some money.
I don't think there's any way to stop this as long as you have the system in place we have, where so few people support so many others. I mean, look, 10% of the people in the United States are paying for 75% of Obama's largesse. Half the people in the country are dependent upon the federal government. 50 million people are getting food stamps. You can, in a democracy, this is just completely destructive because you've bought all the voters. And hey, and Alex, did you know that in the last election, only 51% of the eligible Americans even bothered to vote?
I know. Listen, Porter, I got to have you back up soon for a full hour because you talk about the zombies. It is getting frightening when people, you tell them about all the tyranny, these yuppies and people giggle and laugh. They're so disconnected from reality. They've never had their butt kicked. They've never been in the military. They've never been mugged. They've never gone hungry. They've never worked a day in their life. And they think it's all funny. I have no idea what these idiots are going to think when it all collapses.
Well, you know, they're not going to do very well. I can guarantee you that. And I've thought for a long time what would happen if the food stamps checks wouldn't clear. You know, if there was so much inflation that the food stamps wouldn't buy you food anymore, what would happen to an urban setting like Baltimore, or what would happen in Houston? And I think those people who are ignoring these fiscal problems and who are ignoring what's happened to the morality of our country are going to be in for a rude awakening one day.
Absolutely. The Ron Paul speech, parts of it's coming up, is just off the charts. We're going to be playing it all over the next week here, and it's posted at InfoWars.com. Go to the website 3RDTerm1.com to see the powerful video presentation. ThirdTerm1.com.
I would stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
Throughout the nightly news tonight, tomorrow. tomorrow, the Sunday show. I want to play about a 3-4 minute clip before we get Lou Rockwell on to talk about the secession movement and the threats that are flying from the feds and their cohorts who want to have a military conflict with the American people. The socialists on their sites are, it's time to arrest them. It's time to go in with the militias. We'll take everything they've got and redistribute it. And these are all like these little spindly-necked wimps who couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. You dirty little commies, go ahead and try to start a fight and see what happens to you. You make me want to throw up how you work for the foreign banks and... You know, for, you know, every three shillings the New World Order gets, you get one. I mean, it's disgusting how you've sold everything out in your socialism and your fake moral high ground and the rest of it. It's just unbelievable what parasites you are. But I want to play Ron Paul here in his summation from his speech, because he talks about world government and how we're under world government now commanding our military. And then we'll go to Lou Rockwell of LouRockwell.com. Here is Ron Paul's conclusion to the 48-49 minute powerhouse speech that's up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Here it is.
In conclusion, what are the greatest dangers that the American people face today that impede the goal of a free society? There are five. The continuous attack on our civil liberties, which threaten the rule of law and our ability to resist the onrush of tyranny. Number two, violent anti-Americanism that has engulfed the world. Because the phenomenon of blowback is not understood or denied, our foreign policy is destined to keep us involved in many wars that we have no business being in. National bankruptcy and a greater threat to our national security will result. Number three, the ease in which we go to war, without a declaration by Congress, but accepting international authority from the UN or NATO, even for preemptive wars, otherwise known as aggression. A financial political crisis as a number four, a financial political crisis as a consequence of excessive debt, unfunded liabilities, spending, bailouts, and gross discrepancy in wealth distribution going from the middle class to the rich. The danger of central economic planning by the Federal Reserve must be understood. World government taking over local and U.S. sovereignty by getting involved in the issues of war, welfare, trade, banking, a world currency, taxes, property, ownership, and private ownership of guns must be addressed. Happily, there's an answer for these very dangerous trends. What a wonderful world it would be if everyone accepted the simple moral premise of rejecting all acts of aggression. The retort to such a suggestion is always, it's too simplistic, too idealistic, impractical, naive, utopian, dangerous, and unrealistic to strive for such an ideal. The answer to that is that for thousands of years, the acceptance of government force to rule over the people at the sacrifice of liberty was considered moral and the only available option for achieving peace and prosperity. What could be more utopian than that myth, considering the results, especially looking at the state-sponsored killing by nearly every government during the 20th century, estimated to be in the hundreds of millions of people? It's time to reconsider this grant of authority to the state. No good has ever all come right from granting monopoly power to the state to use aggression.
We are going to air all of this on the Sunday radio show over 2 hours. I'm going to be there playing 5-minute clips, commenting. It is the greatest political speech that I've ever seen, because it's not political. It's about reality. Ron Paul is calling for a return of reality and sanity, and I've never been more proud to know Ron Paul. I've never been more proud to know he's right, and historically the collectivism, despite all its promises, is a nightmare. And how he indicted the megabanks taking us over, the world government, the preparations for mass arrest. He laid it out and said, folks, we have psychopathic authoritarians. These are quotes. I mean, this is the speech that I would like to write, because I'm always wanting to do a whole film just breaking down the continuum of it. And he's done it. And I have announced, that's why today I had an epiphany last night. I knew the states' right movement was what the globalists were preparing for, because they know it's the constitutional remedy. They're spinning secession like it's the Civil War and racist, and saying there's going to be violence and that Obama needs to ride in like Lincoln and arrest people. This is petitions at the White House now. I mean, I've got them right here where they say arrest us, all this. This isn't even what I'd call secession. It's the states saying the federal government sold out to foreign corporate interests, the globalist world government, now commanding our military, NATO. They brag in the newspaper, we've been conquered by foreign banks. We've got to have Ron Paul go out with that message with Campaign for Liberty that knows where all the patriots are at. Have competing ideas for a reissuance of the original Declaration of Independence with a battle plan to say, you're illegitimate Federal Reserve, you've hijacked the country, you've now got governing power under the Dodd-Frank bill. I mean, we're in trouble. And we repudiate this. And what it is it's a platform to challenge them, and then people see legitimacy in government. So through the states, even though they're more legitimate than the feds, they're still a problem. We can literally beat these people. It's the best platform. It needs to be led by Ron Paul, as I said in the first hour, Lou Rockwell, Eben Vieira, Bruce Fein, and other constitutional lawyers and men of true integrity. Okay, there's some women out there that have fought tyranny with integrity. I'm not even saying I'm in this rodeo, but I've rung the bell, and I know this is the battle plan, and this is the way to go. We have to offensively, because there's a hunger. Now it's 1.3 million signatures. All 50 states are about to qualify for a White House response. Sure, you don't go to the government, the feds, and say, give up your power. But it's tacking the articles on the door. It's letting them know. It's a declaration of independence by the people that we're not going to be slaves under socialism for the blue states all sucking their thumbs. And we don't want the Republican governors either telling us go along who are squealing. But again, they're going to spin this. We're going to Lou Rockwell. I don't know what his take is going to be on this, but I think it'll be with me because it's constitutional. It's historical. It's a reissuance of the Declaration of Independence. It's a re-upload of that. But the feds have been seized by globalists. It's totally special interest. As Ron Paul said, we have to start with states that have enough moral people and enough producers left to stand up and say, I'm not a slave. It's the new civil rights movement. It's the real civil rights movement. We are going to have the state stand up with petitions at the legislature, legislatures voting to say full annulment. We do not recognize you anymore. We are America. We are the republic. So not even secession. It's pulling out of the occupied federal government to reestablish the republic. Now, again, we have to get our own petitions, not that they matter at the federal level, except in the image. The whole world's a stage. Each of us players upon it. It's a real stage with life and death, but it's how you present it. And so we need Lou Rockwell to come up with ideas. Ron Paul. Ron Paul must put on the mantle, as constitutional lawyer Vieira said, who advises Paul. He totally agreed with my plan. We must launch it now. The flood has come. We must surf this thing or it's over. They're going to start a civil war. Okay, they're coming for you. The authoritarians know time's running out. Lou, I got you on and I'm ranting here. I'm so excited because a few times in my life, things have crystallized. And I know when I'm right. I know when I've done the historical research and I know when the zeitgeist is there. And I have never, this is 10 times the electricity I've ever felt. Lou Rockwell, what do you say to what I've just laid out here? All I'm laying out is what our country was founded on. Can we rediscover the republic? Can it rise again? Will you help us get Ron Paul to lead this exploratory movement to really get aggressive?
Well, certainly, Alex, Ron Paul is the leader, as we saw in this, fantastic farewell to Congress speech, one of the great speeches of all of American history. He is the leader. He's going to continue to be the leader. I would say he's going to be a more effective leader now that he's out of electoral politics. He's got many wonderful things in store for us, plans that he can't disclose quite yet. But after the first of the year, when he's no longer in Congress, just wait for it. There's going to be great stuff ahead. But this principle of, I hate to quote Woodrow Wilson. He referred to it as self-determination, principle of secession. Ludwig von Mises famously said more than 100 years ago that no people or part of a people shall be held in a political allegiance or alliance to which it's opposed. It's wrong. This is, in fact, an ancient Catholic principle. It goes back to the Middle Ages of decentralization, that with certain things should be handled at the level of the individual, others at the level of the family, others at the level of the local community. And you do not have the higher governments in society controlling the lower. You have it just the reverse. So this policy of decentralization, of secession, is absolutely a key principle of human liberty. Jefferson talked about it. He talked about the worst thing that could happen to this country is we'd get a consolidated government, a centralized government. But it's one of the bad things about government, many bad things about government, one of the bad things about government is they all get together to increase centralization. Hans Hoppe has pointed out why this is in their interest, so that you have, whether it's what's happening in the EU, individual countries conglomerating together to make a unified state in Europe, or at least that's what they want. It's already happened in this country. We've had state and local authority, needless to say, individual authority and other sorts of private authority wiped out or crushed by the federal government as it's become more and more of a centralized state. And these people, of course, all want a world government. They want, you know, they want North American Union. They want a world government, just the sort of horror that John Maynard Keynes used to campaign for, and every other terrible person, political person, maybe in the history of the human race. I'm sure the Pharaoh wanted to be head of the world too. So all these guys want this, but on the other side of power, glory for the state, conglomeration, centralization, stepping on other people, killing, mass spying, all the wonderful things the government does to us and to people in other countries. There is the opposing moral force, whether we call it secession, decentralization, and I would argue, as Hans Hoppe and others have pointed out, this really should go down to the individual level. We should be able to secede as individuals. Alex, like you, I never signed the U.S. Constitution. This, of course, was a point that Lysander Spooner made in the middle of the 19th century. We didn't agree to this. This is something that's imposed on us. So the government imposes its view on us, whether they call it the Constitution or, and of course, as Ron Paul pointed out in his speech, the Constitution has failed. The Constitution did not work. So we need to concentrate more on what's wrong with the government. We can't count on the government to save us. We can't use these government documents thinking that they're going to save us from the government. The government uses them against us. Now, I would agree with you that the Declaration of Independence, which is a declaration of secession, is maybe something we can very much count on rhetorically and its principles. But, you know, we always have to remember, too, and Ron Paul has pointed this out just recently, America, if we think of the current American system, was founded by the secession of the 13 colonies, which were 13 little independent countries. And too bad we don't still have that system. But anyway, the 13 independent colonies seceded from Britain. This is a war of secession. It was not a war of conquest. The typical war, if we think of the kinds of wars the U.S. wages, so it was a war of conquest. The war that the Americans wage was to get out from under Britain. They didn't want to invade London and try to rule Scotland or Wales or whatever. They just wanted nothing to do with England in terms of political control. So, you know, that's the way many of us feel about Washington, D.C. We feel it about, for that matter, our own state capitals, maybe even our local towns. They're all becoming tyrannical. Government at all levels is becoming more tyrannical by the day. Maybe that'll help us understand that government is not the answer. On the other hand, Jefferson pointed out that competitive sovereignties could help restrain government. And of course, it was the abolition of the states as competitive sovereignties to the federal government and the abolition of entities within the states also helped the centralization process. Jefferson said that people who had his sorts of political views stood with the states against the general government, stood with the towns against the states, stood with the wards against the towns, stood with the individual against everything. So that's the way to think of it. We want more decentralization, more power downwards. We don't want centralization. We don't, let alone, of course, we don't want world government or anything like it. We don't want a huge conglomerated nation state like the U.S., which is too big to be free.
Yes, sir.
You can't
what I'm
have
saying...
330 million people under one gigantic government and think you're going to have freedom. You don't have freedom. You have tyranny, which, of course, is what we've got.
Absolutely. Lou Rockwell's our guest. I'm sure you know, because we actually have an article off lourockwell.com. Glenn Beck has told his listeners, and I don't want to get into a bashing thing with him. It may just be pure, you know, fear.
I'm glad to bash him.
Well, I mean, my point is, he's saying, don't you dare sign that. You'll be a traitor. I have his quote in the video here. And then we get emails. I know you're getting them. We've got an example right here, anti-secession threat, where it's like, I strongly suggest you do not sign this petition or align yourself with any group that would place your allegiance to the country in question. How about our country got taken over by globalists who brag that they've conquered America on CNBC and the Associated Press banking cartels that literally take my money and give it to them while they debase the rest of the money, and then they're saying it's racist. The new civil war is about to begin. Obama will be the new Lincoln. They've been getting ready for this forever. I mean, these people are truly sick. They have petitions signed to arrest us and to have federal militias come in and retake the states with volunteer Democrats who want to run around in little Soviet uniforms. They're dreaming of some Soviet. I mean, these people are sick.
Alex, I can remember when Glenn Beck said that Ron Paul supporters were potential terrorists, should all be investigated by the Army and potentially arrested by the Army.
Yeah, no, he called me a piece of garbage 2 days ago.
What is the concept of treason? I mean, that actually would argue that the government owns us, that we, you know, even though they do nothing for us, they, of course, do plenty to us, that they own us, and we're not allowed to get out from under them. And, of course, this is, you know, this is the government in the American past has killed people for wanting to get out from under it. So we can't, we always have to be aware that they are violence incorporated. On the other hand, we don't need violence. We have the ideas, the right ideas on our side, the ideas of freedom, the ideas of self-determination. Who is Barack Obama or Mitt Romney or Mitt Romney's assistant, Glenn Beck, to tell the average American family that the feds in Washington should be running them, should be supervising them as to how they raise their children, should be supervising their home, supervising their neighborhood, supervising their business? I mean, that's just, of course, pure tyranny. And again, we need a much smaller country. It would be a great thing to break up the U.S., just like it'd be a great thing to break up the European Union. If we look back to the wonderful example of Germany, Hatapa points out, in pre-Treaty of Westphalia days, there were 700 little countries that made up Germany. They all were Germans. They were culturally and linguistically Germans, but they had a tiny government.
And it created competition between those and firewalls to tyranny.
No, this is the way it's supposed to be. This was the way it was in the Middle Ages when you just have tiny, tiny countries. So we've had this terrible tendency by politicians to try to conglomerate together, the better to rip us off, the better to rule us, the better to put their boot on our neck. That's what they live for. They love, and of course, the better to wage wars, the better to take all our money through taxation, better to control every aspect of our lives.
Lou Rockwell, stay there. I want to talk about how we take the Republic back. We'll be right back. We have a global corporate banking cartel that's gotten our government to sign on to all of its fraud. They've got a giant horde of people who don't even know how to tie their shoelaces, who are totally domesticated, calling for anybody who works his head in total class warfare envy. We've seen this happen hundreds of times the last 1,000 years or so. We are in deep trouble. This country has cancer. All I say is we can debate smaller units later. The states are what could deliver that under the Constitution. We got to kick the globalist out of Washington and then reconstitute the Republic if that's what the states chose. All I know is I want the foreign occupying force out. And Lou, I don't want to just move around and try to get people elected to Congress. I think it's now time to go to the states and say, hey, you want to secede or you want to develop a plan to have a new Declaration of Independence to kick the globalists out? Because the globalists, I know you've seen this in the news, they're bragging they've conquered our country. And I think that's pretty important that all these big mega banks and CNBC and the Associated Press tell us we're now run by foreign banks, but that's a good thing. They know best. Yes, global government's here, but the ADL says you're a terrorist if you say there's a world government. It's time to just go all the way here. What's your take on that?
Well, I think it is. I think our ideas are winning. This is what bothers the opposition. And I think it's wonderful that if a state wants to, for example, seek to use gold and silver as money, internally, or all those other kinds of things, get rid of federal regulations, nullify federal regulations. I remember the great moment when South Carolina, to oppose the rotten tariffs of Andrew Jackson, this had nothing to do with slavery, by the way, despite the propaganda. They said, if you try to raise taxes to the extent you're going to destroy us, if you try to do that, we're not going to go along. And if any federal officials come into our state to try to enforce this taxation, we're going to arrest them. So that was the first great nullification. And as Jefferson, Tom Woods has a great book on nullification. If you're interested in this topic, everybody, take a look at Tom's book.
And the power to tax is the power to destroy. We are being destroyed. We are being physically attacked financially by these people. Here's what I'm saying. I know the energy's there. If Ron Paul steps up and says he's going to lead a movement, I know they're going to for Internet freedom because they put out a questionnaire to a campaign for liberty people. I looked at it and I said Internet was important. So he's going with what his constituents of liberty have pushed for. But I think it's important to codify and go, look, this nullification is going to happen. Campaign for Liberty's got to get out front. Lou Rockwell's got to get out front. You've been out front. But say, hey, you know, this isn't what you say secession is. This is reconstituting the republic, kicking the globalist out, kicking the Federal Reserve out. I think we can rout these people. I'm telling you, there's a real revolutionary fervor there, Lou, and I think it's time to launch.
Well, Alex, we've got the truth on our side, and the truth is that we all have the right to be free. We're all born free until governments, of course, try to make us unfree. And this, again, is, as you've pointed out, this is a very ancient battle between freedom and the state. So secession is part of it. Self-determination, we have the right to that. They don't have the right to control us against our will. And we have the right ideas on our side. And we have to remember, you know, even the government is aggression, concentrated aggression. The freedom movement is non-aggression. So we're about voluntary association,
sure,
voluntary actions, and spreading the ideas. And more and more people are on our side, more and more young people.
Sure, what I'm saying is let's escalate.
He's going to be leading this movement. He's going to be leading this movement.
Good, good.
He already is leading it, but he's going to continue to lead it.
Well, I know you talked to him quite often and got him on the show last week, and I'm glad that he's also taken over Campaign for Liberty and is reaffirming everything in there. Can you do 5 more minutes with us in overdrive?
Sure.
Okay, because I want to just have you make some final points. I know I'm running over you. It's just we need to do this now. I mean, all I'm saying is the nullification movements out there, the secession movements out there, but they're going to go and point at hillbillies that are announcing themselves president of Texas or whatever. We need to have Ron Paul out front saying, no, we're kicking the globalist out. We're restoring the republic from the states on up, the states that made the federal government.